up here. We'll let you have your time of sharing from your seat. So it's been quite a different year, and so I hope that God has done things that you can remember and be able to share with us for encouragement or challenge here this morning. One of the announcements I had before we get too far along is next Sunday is the Sunday that we have announced for a council meeting concerning your okay to move ahead with a minister ordination. So after this service, we will do that probably here in this room. And so we will look for your counsel then. Also, for your counsel at that time, it would be kind of a separate question or counsel, is to accept Jethro and Nina as members here. And so if your friends and family are not here and have missed some of that, maybe it'd be nice if you could fill that in for them throughout the week here. But is there any questions maybe on that I should give a second for? Well, thank you for coming. Hopefully we can have a service here that's honoring to God and challenging to each other. I would like to share, first of all, because we just did pass Christmas, I would like for us to turn to Luke chapter 2 and read a very familiar passage here, the first 19 verses and 20 verses, and then just have our thoughts go to Christmas here for a minute before we turn the time over to give you opportunity to share something of thanksgiving. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor over Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'll just pause just for one little comment here. If you are an Old Testament scholar, if you have any interest in Old Testament teachings and all the customs they had and what it meant to be a firstborn, this is distracting from the Christmas story in a sense, but when it says in verse 7 that she brought forth her firstborn son, to you and I, we say, well, yeah, we know that, and it's just part of the story. And maybe you don't even just think about it because you just read it. But if you were in that day, that this event around the prophecies of the Savior coming, it had to be a firstborn. And I'll let you answer your own in your own mind. Those Old Testament teachings, it just makes it kind of interesting. Some of that detail that's in there, we think sometimes some details are given that doesn't mean anything. Well, it really doesn't mean that much to me whether it was a firstborn or not, but it had to be. And you think about it. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Emphasize the all people. The news is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. The prophecy will be fulfilled. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What a wonderful proclamation. Again, as we look at the Old Testament and we see the details of the prophecies that were fulfilled in just those 20 verses, I have an interest. There's at least 8 verses that are Old Testament verses that are fulfilled in those 20 verses. And so, what does that matter? Why is that a big deal? Well, to me it is, because, again, it's details that help prove the accuracy of Scripture, and the God that we serve took care of every little detail. Now we come into a day today, in 2020, when some of our details of the future are a little bit more unknown, or we think they're maybe we should go back to 2019 and realize that our future wasn't that well known anyway. But 2020 has certainly brought us to the point where our future is a lot more in question, and there's less facts. Everywhere you turn, there's less facts and more doubt. Well, when you look at the Old Testament fulfillment, the New Testament has fulfilled the Old Testament, then I would like to assure you that when you go to the Scripture, and we tremble just like human beings tremble, just like other people have questions, we go to the Scripture, we see the future, and God's in control today, and He will be in the future. He will be in control when our partners leave us because of sickness and those kinds of things. He knows what's there. And so some of the people that we have gotten to know over the years, their Christmases aren't the same. There's partners that have left. And it's a joyous proclamation here, for the fact that God is in control. And although we don't know what 2021 will bring, we know who holds the future. And that's some of my thanksgiving for this morning. Because if I would have never been introduced to the Scripture ever, where there's people that we meet daily that barely know, yes, they know there is a book like this around, they probably never opened it. Never touched it. Right in this community. And so I could have been one of those. But God saw fit to have a Bible in my hand and to introduce me to the Scripture and to draw me to Him. And I thank Him for that as we think of this little bit of uneasy time that we live in. I think I'll survive. If you can just survive with my snotting. One of the things that I've heard about Christmas is a bit of a reaction for us as Christians to celebrate December 25th as a Christian holiday. And I do realize that that the world has commercialized Christmas to a point where it gets pretty it gets kind of uneasy for sure. But I like to think that what I read there is so important that maybe we should try and find ways to calm down our own personal celebration of Christmas and not let the Santa Claus and the world into our Christmas story. But what I read here, it is so meaningful and so foundational to our Christian faith that I'd like to encourage us to continue the traditions and the things that you do that are actually meaningful, that mean something about what I read. If you're caught up into just things that the world does with this December 25th, then I think it's time to change something. It's still time to change. But the problem that I have heard of is people just want to stay away from the whole thing and just don't want to touch it. Well, I'd like to suggest that when we read this story, so we read it to the youngest children, they know what it means when a baby is born and so forth, and we keep reading it to our children as they grow, that story, whether we read this exact account or our own version of it, I'd like to think that we need to not react and have a no Christmas at all and no gifts or nothing, not react that way, but rather let's shore it up and make it more important, make it more real. What is this? And so with that, my thoughts are that we need to teach the birth, life, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. And that should be the reaction. If your neighbors are doing stuff that's far away from Christmas, and they call it their Christmas holiday or Christmas celebration, let's stay focused on what it's really all about. He's seated at the right hand today, interceding for us, and we need to be thankful. Well, turn with me, and I'll let you talk here a little bit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. When I think of Thanksgiving, there's a lot. I'm not going to preach here, so it's just one verse. And you can read the before and after passages, which is kind of important. You can read the before and after scripture. But verse 21 has this word thankful in it. And let's just say, without reading it, the verses from 21 on are steps downward away from God. That's how chapter 1 ends. So at least I'll fill that in. So my thing is this morning, as I think, well, what am I thankful for? What has God done? There's an amazing amount of things He's done this year and kept us healthy, and we're still together as a couple, and friends are being, their halves are passing away and so forth. There's a lot to be thankful for. And I think also then of the last verses there, this trend downhill away from God. And the reason, very simple reason, why people, I should say, one of the very simple reasons why people leave God and go their own way is because of unthankfulness. And here it says, because that when they knew God, now we're talking about, and it's probably technically talking about Jewish people here, but just put it into our own lives, us people that understand God enough to have submitted our lives to Christ. It's because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That's one thing, as a downhill step, as the beginning, stop glorifying God. The other thing is so simple. And so when we think of Thanksgiving, do we think of it as that important? When you and I stop being thankful, and you don't have to get up in the morning and make a big show to God, He knows your heart whether you're thankful or not. But when we stop and being thankful, then we come vain in our imaginations and our foolish heart will be darkened. Thankfulness, when we are thankful, something I think it's something we were taught and I think it's important. But is it that important in our mind? When we stop being thankful, we're going to have our imagination become vain in our imaginations and our foolish hearts dark. Well, I'll let you come up here. Is there anyone that would like to come up here and share something that God has done for them through this year? Jerry, come on up here.
I'd like to thank the Lord for the help I got this year. I got a couch from Kevin, and I got a meal offered to me from Martin Sales in Headville, and then I got a dinner offered from Lynn and Joyce here, and it was a beautiful meal, and I got a gift from Mel's kids. They made me a Christmas card, all three of them, the boys. And it was a beautiful thing I ever saw. And it blessed in my heart there, praise the Lord. And then I got a gift from Mel when he gave me money to buy my clothes when I was getting a little low on clothes. And he helped me there, praise the Lord. And I got help from a lot of them. And I appreciate Mel and his hand for giving me that money and helping me out there. And so another time, and then I got a gift from Doyle, and he gave me a Christmas gift too, and praise the Lord, and it helped out, and I got a gift from Dale, and he gave me a gift too, praise the Lord, and that helped me out pretty good, and I thank the Lord for helping me to stay on this diet. Because this diet was rough, man. I was having a hard time. Well, I was tempted many way times. But the Lord kept me on this diet, and I've lost a lot of pounds. I lost over 50-some pounds, and still losing. And so I'm down to an extra-large shirt and a 36 pair of pants. And I got my jacket ripped out, and my boy bought me a jacket and gloves. I said, the Lord sure blessed me there too. And then I went down Saturday, went down to the Tops and bought groceries, and I bought too much and it was too heavy. And I said, well, Father, I said, it would be nice if somebody would stop and offer me a ride. And so I got as far as the Union Mark, and a Christian lady and her husband stopped and gave me a ride. Praise the Lord. And so God moves in many strange ways, but praise the Lord, He's been guarding me pretty, and I thank God for all my brothers and sisters here and my youth group because they have blessed my heart many times. And so I'm really happy with what this church has really brought into my life. And I thank Kevin anyway, I'm thankful for all of my brothers and sisters anyway. So it's hard to remember sometimes when you get up here and get a little nervous, but praise the Lord. Because I'm not very good at standing up here, but praise the Lord. But God has moved me in many ways, and I thank for everything. And Carson and all of them, and Tony Tony Martin's here, and Jeffro. And they all blessed my heart, and they all showed wonderful wisdom in them. And I've seen a lot of goodness in a lot of my brothers and sisters here. And without them, I don't know what I'd do without my sisters and brothers, and I truly would not know. But God, thank God for everything. And so God has changed my life around. So about all I can say now, but thank you.
As I think over the last year, it was as an adult, as a married adult, this has been probably the scariest year I've ever been through. And yet, when I think about what actually happened, it wasn't that much to be scared of, from my point of view. Right? The store did really well. I'm thankful for that. I was allowed to stay open through the pandemic because I'm an essential business, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but that happened. It's what happened. And so I was grateful for that. And the pandemic, I was actually on it quicker than most people were. I was worried about it more than most people were. And I thought it was like a 4% death rate. I was afraid of that. And it didn't happen. Like, it didn't. Like, we still have, we're all here. Okay. And so if I would have looked ahead, now we don't know what the future holds, and I could get scared again if I wanted to. There's lots of other things to be more scared about than that, even, if you can dwell on that long enough. But God was with us, and if I would have looked ahead from April till December, and I would have known what actually was going to happen, I would have saved like 5 pounds of adrenaline. I mean, you know, like, there's a lot of fear that went through my heart. And so I want to be more faithful to God in this next year. I was also extremely grateful for my parents and grandparents who taught me the ways of eternity and the ways of God. And it's kind of like growing up in a castle and you don't know what that big wall is there for, and it's irritating to always have to go out through the gate. Why can't I just walk out, you know? And then when the battle comes, you realize, oh, that wall was there so they can't come in, and we shut the gate so they can't come in. You know, like all these eternal things that I grew up with, I took care of them, but I didn't really appreciate them like I did this year, and I'm very grateful for that.
So first of all, I'm very grateful for everybody of our body, and I do pray for you as well. When I was thinking about when Glenn said what we're going to do, my thought went to thinking of the year and the unsettledness. And I thought about our anchor. We have an anchor. And so, Clifton, I would like that us to sing that song sometime. It's 483 in the Black Book, Christian hymnal. Anyway, but then, so that's the regular, will your anchor hold? But y'all know there's another, the anchor holds by, I think Ray Bolt sings it. But actually the author of it is Lawrence something. I'll see it down further here. Anyway, he has a story that goes with it, what made him write it. And I thought, you know what, I think I'll read it. Because some of us, we can identify with this. The story behind the writing of this, and this is his testimony. The story behind the writing of this song begins in 1992 when my wife and I experienced what we now call our year of sorrows. My father died that year. We were facing health problems. I had come to the point of burnout from being in pastoral ministry for 19 years, and the church that I had helped plant was entering the first phases of what became a devastating split. I was also reevaluating the focus of my calling. I was weary and discouraged. Then, in the summer of 92, my wife experienced her third miscarriage. We wept as we held the tiny 14-week-old fetus of our son in our hands. It truly felt as if our visions and dreams had slipped right through, like they were only grains of sand. It seems as if the best years were over. I was given a sabbatical from pastoring for 6 months. During that time, my wife and I grieved and prayed. I also began to play the piano again for hours at a time, alone with God. During this time of sadness and uncertainty, the Holy Spirit gave me a song which I entitled, The Anchor Holds. As I would sing it, I began to experience God's comfort, encouragement, and hope. Eventually, fresh vision came, and I entered a new phase of the calling of my life. In the spring of 93, my old friend Ray Bolts heard about the song during a time of sharing together after one of his concerts in Maine. A few months later, he called me and expressed interest in possibly recording it. So I sent him the song in the rough, and I told him he was free to adapt it for his purposes. He reworked it, shortened it a bit, and added the musical bridge and recorded it in November of 94. Anyway, he's been amazed at how the response has been to the song. And I'm just going to read the lyrics. I have journeyed through the long, dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, by sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. And I'm going to skip the chorus till the end. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the chorus. I had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew that they would slip right through like they were only grains of sand. I have been young and I'm older now, and there has been beauty that these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love to me. The anchor holds, this is the chorus now, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. And I think about the unsettledness of our country, of the disease, the coronavirus, and even the future. And I'm like, I'm just really glad I have an anchor.
Strength, build your anchor, fill it over.
Eli, do you have the mic? Do you want to come here in the center? Maybe somebody wants it. Okay, they might be a little scared to come up here. Somebody want the mic? Well, you can just sit there in the back, and then you'll be ready to go. Thank you.
Yeah, I think back on the year and some of the things that I'm thankful for. One of the big ones was that my dad recovered from COVID. When we had a conversation on Friday evening when he was thinking he was coming down with it, and Jake King and these guys are kind of flashing for my mind. I'm like, you know, this might be the beginning of the end. And I just wasn't really ready for my dad to die yet. And I would like his life to have a happy ending. And I didn't feel like he's quite at that place yet. So I'm very thankful the Lord gave him some more time. As I think back, also provision, the Lord has really blessed us with provision in different ways. Think of Tony Martin really helping to oversee and the project of putting a roof on our garage, which was a very big project to me, and he helped do that along with some others. The other kind of maybe more amusing thing maybe to you all, we need another van. We thought we needed another van. It was getting pretty bad. And anyway, I was asking the Lord for help about getting another van, like to help pick the right one. I don't want to buy a lemon. And so I specifically asked for, I would like it to be a little old lady's van, like just because, you know, it's worth a shot, right? I mean, if it was a little old lady's, then we at least know it was taken care of really good, you know. Anyway, so we found this van on Craigslist and went, my brother-in-law looked at it down in Lancaster County, and we went down and I'm buying it. And the guy tells me this was a 90-year-old lady's van, like, or at least like very close to 90. And she put the last 100-some thousand miles on this thing. I'm like, this is a little old lady's van. Like the Lord heard that prayer and he answered it. And so I was thankful for that. I was also challenged by Kevin last week's reminder that sharing time could also be a time of confession, not just a time of saying all the good things the Lord has done. And there's an Eternal Prayer Flame group that has weekly themes, and one of the week's themes was on humility. And the prayer for the church was that the church would be a place where people can be vulnerable and express their weaknesses and their needs, that's how the church would be. So I've been praying that all week with the, you know, and so I share a testimony last Sunday morning about, you know, a good thing that the Lord done in my life. And then Kevin immediately follows with that, and I'm feeling a little almost chastened because my week wasn't all good. Like, actually 3 days in a row, I had kind of animosity and strife in my relationships and dealing with problems, and I was frustrated. And so that's the truth also. The other half of my last week was it wasn't all good. And so the prayer request actually there would be an acknowledgement that I'm way too easily frustrated with problems. And so may the Lord give me grace to learn to deal with things with grace and peace and faith. So, thank you.
For us, or for me especially, this year has been one of many, many changes, a lot of just trying to figure life out. And I don't want to, my theme of this morning as I was thinking about it, or in the last 9 months, really, 9-10 months, has been one of keep coming back to the faithfulness of God. And in Psalm 139, it starts out, "O Lord, thou search me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." And it goes on down through, where should I go? God is not. I can go here, he's there. If I go here, wherever he's at, it's just this picture of God being everywhere. No matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, whatever it is, God is there. And then in verse 14, The psalmist acknowledges, I will praise thee in all the things that were going on. Just all the things that were going on in the psalmist's life. He chooses to praise him, for he's fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake when he created each one of us. He created us for a purpose, and when he created us, he knew December, well, I don't even know what today is, 27, 28. He knew where we would be on this day, this year, this moment. He knew that when we were born. And as I think about or reflect on the birth of Jesus, his son, thousands of years ago, and his faithfulness, he knew when he was born, he had a plan for Jesus. And he knew that plan would be carried out. He was faithful. He took him through all his life was with him. In verse 17 of Psalm 139, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And the idea that it's not just a fleeting thought. It's not just a fleeting, oh, there's Clifton. Yeah. Okay. And then he's on to something else. But his thoughts, how great are the sum of them? I mean, it's like a math problem, multiplication or what, like just this astronomical amount of thinking he thinks about us. And so just a brief, I want to, I'm just going to share a few things. And in doing this, I want to give God the honor and glory just for his faithfulness. And so, starting in the spring already, as we were still there in Thailand, and as we were reflecting on the school term, we had made the decision, the difficult decision. I had ended up making the final decision that we were going to close VCS down and not pursue another teacher for a variety of reasons. I won't go into all the reasons. And that was met with mixed results. I just wrestled with that. I waffled with that back and forth. Like, why in the world? This is a great opportunity, great ministry. A school of 14, 15 students. You know, four or five different nationalities. And it was just a really good experience. But to come to that point of closing, I waffled with it. Not everybody was on board with that. And yet, looking back, had we went with the decision of trying, yes, we're going to go with it, and looking for teachers and went with the renting the building and going through all that, the teachers wouldn't have been able to get over there. Like, it would have been, they'd still be over here trying to get over. And so by making the decision, and we made the decision, I'm not saying it was my decision, I felt personally I wanted the school to continue, but we just felt in our spirit that this is what God is asking us to do, is to close it. And looking back, so we had months of preparation that there was going to be no school. It was going to be more of a homeschool, co-op type thing where we get together a little bit, but the parents were going to be responsible. And so looking at what happened here with COVID, this was before this all even happened, it was a blessing in disguise. Like, they were already prepping that way, so it didn't do anything. And then also for us coming back here, came back after 2.5 years and really enjoying the first 2 months. It was vacation. It was 2.5 months or 2.5 years since we had seen family and friends and you all. But then we got to the end of our time. It was time to go back. And it was just like, now what? Like, but then to be filling in as house parents, like, it gave us purpose. And also leading up to the future, taking over as administrator, being able to have a better understanding of what's going on, different things like that. Like, all those things, I look back and, you know what, God had planned. And even in the middle of all that, yes, I still question why or what could have been. We still desire to go back and say goodbye and bring closure. But the things of having friends as well, and we were worried as far as all our things, material things. It sounds dumb, but when you have material things or whatever, and you're not able to do anything with them, and you have to have everything sell except a few items, and it's just God has been faithful, and we're extremely blessed. And then being Christmas, being here again for Christmas, this Christmas has really been special in the sense of renewing the idea of the hope that we have in Christ. Like, what was the purpose of Jesus coming? It's more than just a celebration of his birthday. But it's a celebration of life and eternal life. And remembering, Yeah, just thinking about that idea of Jesus the baby coming as life. And that is what life is. And so those are some of the things that I'm very thankful for his faithfulness and for who he is. And I felt prompted, I'm going to have my family come up here. We did not talk about this at all or even practice. But I'd like to sing a song. It's a song we've sang before as a family. We haven't practiced in a few weeks. So if my family will come up here, and I'm going to have you, if you know it, it's I Will Be Your Shield. And it's just a song that depicts the faithfulness of God. So if my family, my wife, my children will come up here. And if you know it, please feel free to sing along. Like I said, I don't have any papers or anything like this, and Ruth is totally impromptu, but so yes, please feel free to sing along if you know it. I will be your shield.
My child, are you discouraged by the sorrows of the day? Does it seem that life is troubling? The skies have turned to gray. Don't forget I gave you promises to guide you every hour. In the moment of your heartbreak, let me show you my great power. And I will be your shield when the battle rages on. And I will be your light when the way ahead is dark. I will be your strong tower and guide you every hour. Just place your life completely in my hands. I know it won't be easy, I never said it would, but my grace will always be there, my plans for you are good. Just remember that your weaknesses are perfect in my sight. Only when you yield them to me can I turn them into might. And I will be your shield when the battle rages on. And I will be your light when the way ahead is dark. I will be your strong tower and guide you every hour. Just place your life completely in my hands. And someday you will understand why I stand this trial. And someday you will see the end and know it's all worthwhile. And I will be your shield when the battle rages on. And I will be your light when the way ahead is dark. I will be your strong tower and guide you every hour. Just place your life completely in my hand.
Thank you.
I was just going to stay back there. The verses I've been thinking of are the ones that talk about how when God says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts, how we can have plans, we make plans. But yeah, this year, obviously, I felt like God's continually showing us that, you know, your plans might not be my plans. I have something different. And also that verse is another verse. I was trying to find these verses, but I couldn't. Moment about how man makes plans or plans his way, but God directs his steps. And yeah, so it's just been a challenge to me personally to just be more open to God's plans instead of just my own, you know, being tunnel vision, this is where we're going, what we're doing. But, you know, just daily to be able to live each day, or as I think about the future, to live open-handed and be open to what do you have, God? You know, this is what we think, but living open to God showing us otherwise. Yeah, and it's something I need reminded of over and over, because we can get comfortable here again and start making plans and thinking, you know, we know what's coming. But yeah, I just want to live with that open-handedness and seeking God's will instead of my own.
First and foremost, I want to thank God and Jesus Christ for coming into my life. This year has been ups and downs. Of course, with COVID, I was working at the restaurant, got laid off, which was a bad thing, but a good thing, because we ended up moving to Bradford to be closer to our family here at church. Heather and I had become baptized in the church. That's a I'm very thankful for. I am very thankful for my wife and going through some stuff that we've done this year. I'm thankful for Glennie for giving me an opportunity for a better job here in Bradford. I am very grateful for last weekend. I got to see my son that I haven't seen in 6 months. That was a very good Christmas surprise. I am thankful for just being a child of God. I'm very, very, very thankful for him coming into my life and changing my life. I've had a very rough life when I was younger, and just seeing the way and by all you guys, my brothers and sisters here, helping me through, I'm just very grateful for that. Thank you.
Hello? Okay, there we go. So I get into discussions sometimes with my children about God and how big he is, and they come up with crazy things like, God could just cover the world with candy, or, you know. But I often come out of those discussions thinking of this song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. It's not just that he's big, but he's got this, and he's in charge, and I'm very grateful for that.
Things that I am very thankful for this past year, that I've probably experienced an attribute of God that I never did to this extent before. It's his patience and long-suffering with me. It was a really hard year in my spiritual life, and I failed many times. And there's moments where I felt like I couldn't get up again, and God was faithful and showed me that he still loved me. I'm still his child, and so that's probably something I'm most thankful for. Another thing I'm thankful for is to have my family back together again for Christmas. It's been good. So.
someone else want to share? Rachel. That's okay. I can hear you.
And I'm thankful for being part of the team that cannot be moved or shaken.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. They won't bite you. I think so.
Okay, now is it on?
Yes.
Okay. So, one of the biggest blessings for me this year has nothing to do with COVID, and yet it has a lot to do with it. My dad and I were talking at the end of last year, and he told me that he read the chronological Bible, which means they put it in order of history and how it was written, when it was written. And so I decided, well, I have this nifty little app on my phone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to a chronological Bible plan, and never dreaming how it was chronological for this year. Mm. It was so amazing that the things that I read, when I read them, were so relevant to life. And the other thing that was really cool was I realized that Rachel was also doing the same thing, and so we talked about where we were at, and I confessed to finishing before the end of the year because I like to use December to think about Jesus' birth and why he came. And so when I read to the end of the book, there's a grand finale at the end of the Bible. And it just gave me a perspective of God and what his desire for us and our relationship with him is. And the last two verses of Revelation say, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."
One of the things that I have observed over the years is some of the struggles that people go through over Christmas time. Whether it was working at the store over the years and all the frantic stuff in the last week of trying to get stuff even for their pets and so forth was always a little astounding to me how much people, and I guess that's part, some of what why I said what I did in the beginning, because I really do believe that you can have a very fun, if that's it's not really the idea of Christmas, but you can have a relaxed and not be on edge over Christmas. That's a sad thing, to be on edge and have everything so pressured and people are going crazy over Christmas, as God's people even are caught in it. And I'm thinking, well, this is amazing how this is so changed us as people, from observing Christ's birth, our Savior, to this whole stuff that goes on. Anyway, so over the last decades of marriage, we have fairly long ago, I don't know if it was the first 3, 4, 5 years of our marriage that we talked about this then already, and were concerned about it, I guess. And so we have all those years tried to do our, if there is gifts exchange and so forth, that it's done at Thanksgiving, and that there's not no gifts at Christmas, and not that we are adverse to gifts, but just that alone has taken a lot of pressure off the day or the weekend. And but then on the other hand, we have tried to have people in our home over Christmas to help our children understand a little bit, hopefully, what Christmas is all about. Anyway, this year, so COVID was here, we knew we're not even going to bother inviting people off the street here. to our home because they won't come. And so we decided that we would make some meals and give them out. So we made 16 meals in carry-out trays on Christmas morning. Jimmy got two, and our neighbors, the house that I already have shared them, my concern about their drugs and activity there, talked to them a little bit on Christmas Eve, and they accepted three. I don't know who got the three because there's lots of people coming and going, but anyway, so that was five, and then Kathy, the lady, the blind lady that Joyce takes care of, that's six, and now we have these rest of them to give out, and so we prayed about it a little bit, and drove back and forth the streets here, and found people walking the streets, and they very, actually very accepting, a very much holiday cheer, if you will, out there on the street, and accepted ours. The most fun part of that took us about 45 minutes to get rid of all 16 here in town. And so the most exciting or kind of the funny part of this was we met a man here walking a dog right here on Park Street, right by the basketball hoop here. And he said, no, he's going to his sister's house or whatever, and they have this plans and all. He was all happy for us and what we're doing, and he blessed us, I believe, right at the beginning there. And so we still had these number of different ones to get rid of. We drove down to Glennie's and tried to check, see if there's anybody in Jefferson. Anyway, kind of made a round and come into Chautauqua Place where the Ascension Church is there. And Joyce said, well, why don't turn right here? And well, there's not much there. Dunkin' Donuts is at the end there. That's about it. And so here, there was a guy on my left walking towards us, and he was talking to a guy on the opposite side of the street, and we kind of saw the man that was on the opposite side of the street. He had this dog, and here was the man that we talked to over here. And he already had walked over there. And so he was telling the man on my left, he said, you got to look for a little green car because they're giving out food. And so I cranked my window, or turned my window down there, and I said, hey, you interested in a hot Christmas meal here? And he said, sure. And he was already prepared for his answer because he knew we were coming. But so him and his wife or girlfriend, whatever, accepted the last two. We had a wonderful time, but that might sound a little proud or whatever, but I do believe that there is things that you can do to keep the thing calmed down so it's not just about Santa Claus. I know it's not Santa Claus here in this town, I mean this room here, but be careful with the tree and Santa Claus. It's just very distracting. It's very, very distracting. Okay, anyone else? I do want to thank you for sharing. Walt, did you have something you want to say? You have the mic in your hand, don't you?
Yeah, but somebody got
a hold on. Okay, all right. You okay? Not sharing anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming, and hopefully we have encouraged each other again as we think of the last Sunday of the year, and we go on serving Him, being faithful, no matter what the year holds. One thing that Chris did not say is that he was thankful for his job, but he doesn't have it anymore. And so, if I understand right? So I think... What's that?
Until March.
Yeah, so we can pray for those weeks from now till March that his needs would be supplied. So let's stand for a closing prayer.